This is season 7 of Sessions, an impossible comeback story.
This podcast is brought to you by Hustler Casino and PokerAds.us.
This year, we play the game smarter, with more patience, and we keep a close eye on those who have stood in our way, those who have infringed upon our journey. Doesn't matter how long it takes, we're going to make it across that chessboard. And when we do, we're coming for you, Nids. Every last one of you. Are you sure, sound guy? Okay. It's going to be a crybaby. Not a crybaby drop, but a crybaby real-time update. You sure you want me to do it? You think it's good for me to vent a little bit before we get into the story? Okay. It's 2:55 p.m. on Friday, April 26, 2024. I'm at my apartment in San Diego. You can hear the construction going on across the street. That starts around 8 a.m. every day. They're building a high-rise. I should have thought something was up when I went to renew my lease and it was the same price as last year. They didn't raise the rates. And that's probably because of the construction. But whatever, that's not a big issue. It's just constant beeping and whatever else. But yeah, I'm trying to come off tilt a little bit. Kind of got a lot of tilting shit going on. And that's pretty normal. And I guess, well, if you're always dealing with tilting shit, it's on you. So it's on me. I need to be way smarter. Not just smarter in my life, but way smarter. Because I'm just always tilted. I just always am. It's just, you know, just maybe the way I interact with people just leads to them, getting the best of me. Not sure. But all right, I feel fine, sound guy. Let's go. Week 16 of 50, 3 things. Hopefully that fucking truck backing up is not ruining the drop. But I apologize. I don't know what to do. Anyways, yeah. Week 16 of 50, 3 things, the session. Everyone who's signed up for $4.22 a month or more at patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer got a private drop of sessions on Tuesday. That drop automatically showed up in their favorite podcast players due to some nifty technology called RSS feed. Basically, once you sign up on Patreon, you click a few buttons and instantly get all my content. I think close to 1,200 hours, if not more, at this point. And you get it all delivered right to your favorite podcast player. So I have an iPhone, and I signed up on Patreon for my own shit because I'm a narcissist. Nope, because I wanted to hear my drops. And when I did, all the drops from all 7 seasons, plus my other podcast, Solicit Advice Podcast, they all went to that podcast app on my iPhone. So, yeah, over 1,200 hours. And each private drop goes there automatically each week. And there's one per week, sometimes more. But you also, when you sign up, you also get membership to Patron Discord. That's a place that enables everyone who signs up to have discussions. Play poker together with no rake. Bet sports together with no vig. And buy pieces of me when I play on stream with no markup. And in theory, that's very profitable. Hasn't been that profitable the last several months. But, you know, it's live poker. Downswings happen. And I'm confident I'm a big favorite every time I play. And sometimes variance says, fuck you. But anyways, having said all that, let's get into this week's public drop. Last the patrons heard in that private drop, I'd come to the realization that I need to infuse 3 things into my schedule as soon as possible. 1, I need more rest, sleep, regular sleep if I can get it, naps if I can't. 2, I need some recreation, mainly golf in my life. Way too stressed and also way too out of shape. And so three is exercise, but I don't think I can get to exercise before I start playing a little golf, getting a little exercise, walking around, swinging the club, what have you. And I feel like I need this very much for my mental, and I need it for my physical as well, and I need it, as mentioned, ASAP, because I'm 50 years old now. I'm the heaviest I've ever been, more on that later. I have a very sedentary lifestyle. I think that's how you say that. And I'm feeling the effects. I just am. And you know, this is, if you look on Patreon, it's Sessions, an impossible comeback story. This comeback's been impossible. And I'm 7 years into it. And I've worked as hard as I possibly can. Maybe not as smart as I possibly can. But the irony there is it's hard to work real smart when you're working super hard, but then you feel like you need to work super hard just to stay afloat. But anyways, it really has been impossible. And there's been moments where it's felt inevitable, and then it shifts back to feeling impossible. And it's really starting to wear on me. And, I guess I'll return to this in just a second. It had been a long week, as the Patron's heard, but I had some really great moments with my kids, my daughter bawling her ass off, just becoming this incredible basketball player. I know I'm biased, but, I was a high school star basketball player. I used to drop 30, played in the biggest division in San Diego. And, I got some offers to play in college and I declined. I just needed to decompress, I guess. And I've been pushing my daughter ever since third grade. She won a championship in third grade. I was her coach, and she showed signs of greatness in third grade, and I put too much pressure on her. In fourth grade, she, you know, felt that pressure, and I backed off, and I just told her, like, in fifth or whatever, if you ever decide you want to be great at basketball, I'm here for you. Other than that, I will pull way back, because you just want your kids happy. You don't want to pressure them in sports. As long as they're doing well in school and they're nice kids, that's good enough, right, as a parent? Well, she said, no, I want you to push me. And we've had many ups and downs, but we're starting to see all the hard work pay off. I think physically, you know, she's in eighth grade. Physically, of course, she's not better than I was in my prime, which was high school. But her skills are already better. She finishes with contact. She draws and ones all the time. I used to draw fouls all the time, but I didn't finish. I just didn't have that focus, and she's learned to have that focus as she's getting fouled. And so some really great moments there, and just some really great moments with my son as well. Just really being my buddy. His time to ball will come, I think, starting next year. I coached him last couple of years in basketball. I'm going to coach him next year, and he just had a growth spurt, and it just really clicked for him. And he loves to practice hoops. And anyways, so another long week, but one filled with some good moments. And was driving up for Domingo Grande, and you know, at the Lucky Lady on DGAS Live Poker Show, and that's the biggest game of the week. In theory, the blinds are 10-20, and then you know, straddles and restraddles go on. But sometimes our 2-5 game gets even bigger. But yeah, it's a very important game for me, so I need to get my head right. And I finally paid the $5 a month or $6 a month to get SoundCloud, because I do like mashups. But instead, I put on Lil Wayne. I found No Ceilings on there, and it just got me right. It got me right for the biggest game of the week, Domingo Grande. Got to the Lucky Lady, ate some medallions that I had pre-ordered, and then I ordered some beers for the room. I greeted some people, and we started the show. I'm going to take a sip of this A&W Zero Sugar Root Beer, and then continue. Police are chasing someone or going to help someone. So, Domingo Grande, what is it? April 21st. The vibe was incredible. It was Crazy Drew's debut on our show. And really the lineup all around was, dare I say, perfect. It was the best lineup maybe I've ever built, and I've built a lot of good ones. Just all the right people in, and that includes some people that play tighter, but it doesn't matter. They're bringing the right energy, and that's just so important to a sensitive boy like me, and it really comes through on the screen, assuming, you know, the technology is working well. Well, I was stuck right away and running bad / car dead as usual. Sound guy, what the fuck with that siren? I mean, come on, man. What's going on out there? Are they looking for you? What the hell did you get into last night? Well, just if anyone knocks on the door, I'll just say, I don't know where you're at. So I apologize for that. So stuck, running bad as usual. And then sometimes in poker, and I'm sure some of you can relate to this, you're on sort of a death run, and then you make a really good play, and it just turns everything around for you. And that's what happened on this night. I made my best play of the night. You know, it's not like, it wasn't a legendary play or anything. I do it often, and it was like, meaning it's not that incredible, but it was a good one under the circumstances, and it really did catapult me in the right direction, and here's what happened. On Tilt Nick, just a dude I'd interacted with plenty. I could tell by his text messages I was going to like his vibe, and I did. He opens to $50 under the gun. Okay, well, we've been playing long enough for me to know this dude is super wide. He is not your average vlogger, you know, playing super tight off those charts, right? He's got a lot of hands in his range from any position. So he opens the 50, and Julia from Palmdale, keyword Palmdale, calls. Okay, if you're from Palmdale, you have a wide range anytime you do anything at the poker table. Okay, so a couple wide ranges here, and I have been fairly quiet. And what does that mean? That means I've been getting dealt 8-deuce offsuit, like 8-deuce offsuit, 9-deuce offsuit, 7-deuce offsuit. Those are the, you know, those are the hands I just keep getting dealt. And he goes, I looked down at 4-deuce offsuit. I'm on the button. And yeah, this is a fold, even though they're both wide. Of course, in a vacuum, it's a fold, but I am the host and I have been quiet. So I'm actually going to get some credit here when I 3-bet. And because they don't know I've been looking down at 8-deuce offsuit, everything is perception at the poker table. They just think I'm maybe playing tighter today. I'm not. I'm just getting the absolute worst starting hands of all time. So 4-deuce offsuit looks much better than what I've been getting. That's real. Some of you sunrunners are like, what are you talking about? You'll see. Keep at it. Sometimes 4-deuce offsuit is like, you know, the median hand you get dealt for years. Anyways, I looked down and I said, let's do this for Kobe. I didn't say it out loud. I said it to myself. Okay. So what are your options here? This dude appears to be on a heater, Nick on Tilt. He's from Texas. He's got a lot of gamble. Julia from Palmdale, has a lot of gamble. So do I want to try and steal it right here? No, I don't. I want to tell a good story. I'm a storyteller. Podcasters are storytellers. I used to be a commentator. I might be a commentator again at some point soon. Storyteller. So I'd rather tell the story that I have good hand. If I go too big here, I'm telling the story that I want them to fold, and they're gonna understand that, and both of these players are capable of playing back. It's not like either one is scared money in the slightest. So I open myself up to a 4-bet if I go too big, and so it might have been a good time to go big with a good hand on the button, but not one that's 4 high. So 200, just set the stage, okay, and they both call. Okay, and yeah, they could have 4-bet the 200 as well, but they didn't. And if they did, so what? It's a fairly inexpensive 3-bet. And so we got 620 as we head to the flop. Okay, and it comes ace-ace-5 rainbow. I did flop a gut shot straight draw, but, you know, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to hit that. So they check to me, and ace-ace-5 really favors the guy who put in the moderate size 3-bet in position multi-way pre-flop who's been folding. So I bet 150 into 620, and Nick on Tilt quickly check raises to 350. And Julia from Palmdale quickly folds whatever trash she was in there with. Okay, a check raise on ace, ace, five, rainbow is not repping a ton here, is it? It's mostly repping pocket fives. It's mostly repping that he raised under the gun with fives, called the three bet, and flopped the small boat, and wants to target an ace that I might have, and he wants to stack me. So that would make, that's a hand that would make a lot of sense to check raise. If he had a weak ace, does it make a lot of sense to check raise there? Not really, because you're going to fold out a ton of, you know, bluffs and, yeah, and, you know, an ace five. Well, you're blocking me having an ace, so you want to encourage me to keep bluffing. But if you have pocket fives, that makes a lot of sense to check raise. So that's most of his value range. That's very, very small in terms of value. So I'm going to continue here after she folds. I'm going to float. I'm not chasing a gut shot. I am not believing on tilt Nick's story in this one. The turn is a king, and what a beautiful card that is. Remember, I three bet preflop. I'm the only person that can have the big boats here. The top of his range is ace five. He does not have ace king. He would have four bet, and he doesn't, you know, he can have pocket fives or he can have ace five. But either way, when it comes ace, ace five, and you check raise and get called by the guy who three bet preflop, and the turn's a king, you have to think, because villain, which is me from his perspective, has the ace king in his range, the nuts, and he doesn't. But he bets 600 here. On tilt, Nick, I am not really believing you in this one, my man. I think you're trying to run a bluff on the old guy in the seventh seat, known as Dragon Man or DGAF. So I call again. Why not raise all in? Well, because this is what I would do. Where I don't balance most spots in live poker, I do balance some. Like, well, I'm gonna tell the story that I have, you know, a big one. I got a big one, as Luda would say. And what would I do with a big one? I certainly wouldn't raise here because I'm blocking all his big ones. So I want him to keep bluffing. So, you know, I'm gonna send it in on the river. Okay. And the river is a six. And now he thinks and checks. Okay. So if he bet, I would have to just jam over it. But now what do I want to do that he has checked? Okay. So poker is just about assumptions and, you know, playing against ranges and those who can. Jesus, sound guy. What the hell did you do last night? You broke into a church? I apologize on behalf of my sound guy. The police is looking for him, so we're going to have to be chill. But anyways, where was I? Okay, so the river is a six, and he thinks a bit and checks. And now I decide to bet as small as I can to tell the story that I have a monster, and I'm just wanting you to call light. I can't go too small because that opens up a door for him to jam on me. And even if he's bluffing, I have to fold. So I decide 900 is as small as I can go to finish telling this story that I started telling preflop that I got a big one, right? You know, 50 under the gun, call, and I'm three betting from the button and I've been folding. They haven't seen my cards. I've been folding shit. So I got the Kobe, I'm in, 200, okay, this guy might have a big hand, he's been playing kind of solid. Not really, I've just been getting horrible cards, but that's the perception. Okay, ace, ace, five, we checked him, he bets a quarter pot, and we check raise, and he calls quickly. Okay, this guy's repping a big one. Turns a king, and he calls again. He reps a big one. The river's a six, I checked to him. If he doesn't rep a big one, we might make a hero call, or we might make a hero jam on his ass. And now I'm taking Nick on tilt's perspective. But I think 900 still tells the story that I have a monster and I don't believe he can have much since I have the whole board blocked. And so I just want him to make a hero call and he folds. And I show, not because I'm trying to be a dick, but because we have a rule that the players show their cards. You turn over, the winner turns over their cards or pays $10. And I ain't paying the $10. And this hand gets me going, and it gets on tilt Nick, maybe perhaps a little bit tilted, and the game gets way out of the muck, and people start punting to me. And yeah, I made some hands, but that was really the turning point, and I won $7,800 on Domingo Grande. I'm buried in makeup, and so this is just a drop in the bucket. I had some real rough sessions on Hustler Casino Live before I left, and anyways, $7,800 is nothing to sneeze at, but it's also a drop in the bucket. So I go and eat some pho with Hannah Scorsese, and I go home and watch the show. I'm excited to see this incredible lineup, just the best energy at the table that maybe we've ever had, and the show was freezing. The internet wasn't working, or something wasn't working, and so I start the show, and I'm talking. I do the intros from the idiot booth, and you can't see my mouth moving, but you can hear, and oh, shit, man. And maybe it'll go away. And no, the show's freezing, and this instantly ruins my vibe. I am pouring so much into DLPS. I want it to work. I'm aware that production's not easy. That's why so many streams suck. It's because it's not easy. But it's still frustrating for me. And whatever. I crash and wake up. It's a new day. It's Make It Back Monday, April 22nd. I'm going to take a sip of this A&W. I'm glad they stopped beeping the trucks. They're not looking for you anymore, sound guy. And we'll talk about a new day. Well, I do some work in my office and head right back to the Lucky Lady for the public game. We have public games twice a week so far, Mondays and Wednesdays. Eventually, I'd like to have public games every day. Get people in the casino. Give the public a chance to show what they got on stream. Some people are fantastic for the stream, and that's how you find them. And I also want to do branded shows every evening. So I want to have 14 shows a week, but we can't do that until the production becomes turnkey. You go in there, you flip the power. You know, you unlock the door, you turn the power on, you're ready to go. You do that, then it's all scheduling and management, right? And anyways, we have two games so far, Monday and Wednesday. You got to be there at noon, but you can sign up on Poker Atlas 6 days in advance. Your name will not fall off. And it's 2-3 no limit. What the fuck was that? Okay, so it's 2-3 no limit, and I don't want to be there for the public games. It doesn't make sense to work nights and also work days. I have enough work to do in the day that is not playing 2-3 no limit, and I'm paying people to go there, but it just, it's new, so I still need to be there, and the operations aren't ready for me to not be there either. And one thing I've been doing is drinking a lot of sugar-free Red Bull when I play, and it's hurting my head the next day quite a bit. And I don't like the way it makes me feel. And anyways, I get in there and they try and hand me the walkie-talkie for like chips and stuff. I said, look, I'm here to play poker and be, the liaison to production, to, run the show. I'm not here to also do the casino operations. Give that walkie-talkie to the motherfucking dealer. And let them call for chips and service and whatever else. All right. Well, I'm playing, and you need to come to production. What the fuck? The idiot booth. I go in there, and there's IT guy who's now trying to rectify the issues from the night before. During our stream now with me, this is not my area. Nope. I'm the people person, the operation. I am not, and it's tilting me. I don't know what you're saying, and I know that like it doesn't work. That's all I know, and like I want it to work. There's two things I know. I know it doesn't work all the time, and I want it to work all the time. And it's, well, this and that. And it's like, oh my God, it's tilting me quite a bit. And I said, like, I don't know what to tell you. And I'm winning. I go back to my seat. I'm winning. And someone makes it 20 and people call. And I look down. I have pocket aces. I make it 120. That's 6X. You know, these 2-3 no limit games are super loose and gambly. Two people call. Okay, so we got about $400 in the pot, and their stacks are about, one has 400 and one has 500 and something. It's Aquila with the 400 or so, and Action Man who has 500 and something. That's why I named him, because he's Action. And so I go all in dark, because there's not a flop that I'm not getting it in on. Pot size bet with aces, there's not a flop. Well, it comes 9-7-4, two diamonds. I have the ace of diamonds. I'm already all in. Aquila folds, and Action Man quickly calls, and he turns over deuce four of diamonds. So he's got that Mamba mentality too. He called the 20 with Kobe, and then he called the 120, and now he's all in after flopping a pair and a flush draw. So that's a good flop for him. I'm still a favorite. I still have 56% equity, and there is $1,500 in the middle. We're going to run it twice, and he wins both runouts. Okay. This is very, very common for me. And okay, take that. And then Aquila wants to do a flip with me a little later on. She has about $400. She wants us each to get two cards, and we're all in dark, and we're going to run it twice. And we do, and we reveal it in an exciting way, and she wins both of those as well. Okay. So I lose $500 in the public game. I was running hot, you could say, at the beginning, but like my opponent would have $28. So is that really running hot when you make like a big hand against someone who has $28 and they can't fold? I don't know. But if I just chopped the flips, you know, the all-in with aces against deuce four and then the blind all-ins, I would have won $600 if I just chopped. But I lost all four. So that's just, I do like to look at equity and what was realized, what was not realized, because I've been losing in these fucking public games nonstop, and I lost $500. Okay. And they called me again to the idiot booth for something, and I kind of let them know how I was feeling. Like, look, man, just, you guys figure this shit out. Like figure it out. And, yeah, I drove back to my spot in Long Beach in traffic, and my head really hurt. And it's a Red Bull headache, and took a nap, fired some NBA. I like to fire NBA and then lie down and listen to the games as I fall asleep for a nap. I got crushed, whatever. Got up, took a quick shower, raced to go eat some Korean barbecue, and then raced over to Lucky Lady to catch the end of the Lakers game before Make It Back Monday, the Monday night game. And the Lakers were up 20 in Denver, and they lost. That was deflating. I'm a longtime LeBron James fan, and so that means I'm currently a Lakers fan. And being in L.A., that was tough. And, okay, so we're going to do Make It Back Monday. It's going to be the juiciest 2-5 game ever. And I just decide, okay, get in there and have fun. You got a good crew again, a good lineup. The public games are public. You don't control the lineup, but I actually paid a couple people to play just to make sure that you know, it would be solid. And one of them is Aquila, who's very fun. Well, she's going to be in at night too. And I just make the buy-in 2K to start. And I get stacked with A7 on A7-6-5 by Julia from Palmdale's 9-6. So she had 6 outs. And we're all in, and that's my first buy-in right down the drain. But unlike Sunday, where I made a really good play and it catapulted my run good, or it was, what's the opposite of the doom switch? the box switch. They switched it on for me, and I just ran hot the rest of the night. All my bluffs got through. I had some big ones against Randy, three-coin Randy. And I don't usually show bluffs. I used to back in the day when I was like a taggier player. You show your bluffs so you get paid when you have it. And then when I just became a player who never has it, it makes no sense to show bluffs. But we show for the sake of the show. And it worked out here. I made trips against him later and was able to bet, I don't know, like 2,400 or 2,800 and get paid. And, you know, Nick on Tilt was there again, given all this action, being so supportive of our project. And I was in the spot several times on this night. You know, you poker players know this feeling, this spot of how can I get value here? How much can I get? What's the best way to proceed? That means you're making big hands. And I would raise with King Jack and it'll come King, King, Queen. You can go so long in live poker without this feeling of how do I get value? And like, of course, maybe you'll have one hand a night or whatever, but like so much of my feeling has been, how do I get this guy to fucking fold? Is he bluffing? Or should I even go for value? But the best feeling is, how can I get the chips in? And I was in that spot a bunch, and it's been a long time that I ran like that. And I won 10,400. I told you it's a juicy 2-5 game. And I ate a bunch when I got back to my spot in Long Beach. But I did drink a lot of Red Bull again, and therefore I slept like shit again. And I got up and got to work on Speedy Tuesday, April 23rd. Another sip. New day, new sip. I'm glad the noises have ceased. Some guy, you can come out from... He's under a blanket. What a fucking guy. I think you're good, man. Maybe they're looking for someone else. So, I got up and I worked and I took a nap and then I recorded that private drop that I spoke of before... You know, when I was doing the promo shit at the beginning of this, that private drop, I recorded it on Tuesday and I produced it. And then I started writing notes for this one and I was caught up at 5:22 p.m. And I wrote, now I need to go have fun and get relaxed and a little bit crazy. And more on that next week. But that's just that's something I've learned that I need to do on this comeback when I play poker. I've been in debt for 7 years. I hate being in debt. The people I owe know the story. It's out there, but like it just feels terrible every time you wake up. And money is so important to me, not in general. I mean, that's probably why I found myself so buried in debt, is I never gave a fuck about money. But it's so important to me, wins and losses. And for me to play well at the poker table, I really do need to be relaxed before I go in. Relaxed and a little bit crazy because I'm now playing with all people I like. And it's hard for me to try and take their money in like devious ways, like floating with the deuce four, double floating, and then putting out what looks like a value bet. Like this Nick on Tilt guy seems cool. Like I like him, he's supportive, but I have to be a little crazy in that hand, right? Otherwise I'm just gonna be like, oh, he check raised, he's a nice guy, I don't wanna fuck with him. But that's poker, you gotta be a little bit crazy and I need to be relaxed. I've certainly got the little bit crazy part down, but I haven't been relaxed very much at all. And I'm coming off a big win. And so let's find that. That's how heaters happen. You go in there, you glide into the poker room. You're on a downswing, you ain't gliding shit. You're like walking, looking up, hoping the chandelier doesn't fall on your head. So that's what I wrote at 5:22 p.m. on Tuesday after I'd recorded and was caught up. And I met Aaron Queskin at a sports bar called Rounding Third in Long Beach. It was okay. The seating wasn't super comfortable or the viewing, but the food was good and the service was pretty good. And Hannah Scorsese joined us. And I broke my fast a little bit too late on this day. And that means I do intermittent fasting, but when I wait till like, you know, 6 o'clock or whatever, then I'm gonna eat and drink way too fast. And after you know, we ate a bunch, we went to Donna's to have a couple drinks before the show. I saw a waitress that used to work at the Hustler there, and Hannah Scorsese did not like how happy that waitress was to see me. It's because I'm a good tipper. It's just that simple. And anyways, we had a beer and a cocktail each, did me and Aaron, and the three of us went over to the Lucky Lady for Spewy Tuesday. And I said I was going to get to why I need those three things. Let me just scroll. I'll tell you at the end. There, that's the hook. I'll tell you why I'm so desperate to get those three things and why this one's called three things. I'm going to write it here. I thought it would come up in the story, but I don't believe it will. So, yeah, it's now Spewy Tuesday. And I start out and I'm winning. I'm running fine, but the game's playing much smaller than the night before because Nick, Until, and Randy aren't there. And everyone told me, you should play poker in Texas. You'd love it. And the people I've played with from Texas are DQ, EFan, 3Coin Randy, and Nick on Tilt. And EFan's not always the most action, but he's action, and they're all action. And damn, I do need to go to Texas and play. So this is fine. It's just a little bit smaller of a 2-5 game. It's still plenty big, and it always gets bigger as the night goes on. Right? Someone goes on Tilt, takes the cap off, and here we go. Straddles go on and what have you. And I'm winning. And another thing, poker's just hard for so many reasons. And one of them is when you finally get a taste of run good, of like that session I had. Yeah, Sunday I ran good too, but it was a combination of run good and you know, made some good plays, some good. Monday night, I just ran good. I didn't really do anything. And so you get a taste of that, like, this shit's fucking easy. I'm going to raise with King Jack, and it's going to King, King, Queen, and someone's going to have Jack 10, and you're going to bet, and they're going to call, and then the turn's small, and you're going to check back because you know they're going to bluff the fucking river, and they do, and, like, it's just so great and easy. Well, so you want that. When you get a taste of it, that's what heaters feel like. You know, that's when you glide in every time. Hey, what's up? I'm here to play some poker. Oh, yeah. Oh, I have a set. Sorry. Oh, I have a higher flush. Oh, this and that. I have trips. Whatever. You, when you're as desperate as I am, and even if you're not, you've had a heater before, most likely, and you want another one. You're chasing the heater, and you got a taste the night before. And so I'm trying to be patient. I'm really trying to be patient. Because I'm just up whatever, and it's not anything that's going to change my life. And a doom switch gets flipped. So remember that switch that got flipped up for me, and it was so nice? It gets flipped down. That's doom switch. So I'm winning, and twice I bet the turn with top pair and get called by under pair, no draw. Well, that's fine. I'm a lag. I bluff more than literally anyone. Maybe there's someone else that bluffs more than me, but anyone that I play with anyways. And so I get it, that I get that action, and that's why it's, and I'm good at reading situations. And both times I got called by these underpairs with no draws, I knew my opponents were light. I just know that because I'm a very perceptive person. I didn't know if they were on a draw, floating, or just like really bad bluff catcher, but I didn't think they would call a river bet as well. And so the first time I checked back and someone had rivered a set of threes. Okay, so they just call with threes on like King 10, 7, 5. And I like, you know, King shit, but they have pocket threes. And there was a three. And then the second time I checked to induce after the river's a brick and they bet and I call and they rivered a set as well. So that's two outers. That's 95.5. And, you know, not in monster pots, but significant pots. 95.5, losing two in just a matter of 30 minutes. Okay. Now it's time to get this game out of the muck. I squeezed to 300. I don't, you know, there's a lot going on, but I squeezed to 300 with pocket eights and vent calls. And Aaron Questkin has been overserved, and he wants to see my hand. And he sees his pocket eights. And he's saying, "Vent, you have ace six down there. You have ace six of spades." And it's just a weird thing for him to keep saying. And the flop comes queen 10 to rainbow. I check, he checks. The turn is the eight of clubs. I turn a set. Oh, complain about people rivering your set, and now you turn a set. And now I bet 600. Why not? I'm just going to pot it because if he has anything, he's going to call. And if, you know, anything, he's going to call. I've seen this. They're calling with underpairs. And he calls and shows Aaron. He shows Aaron a card or his cards. But I'm sitting in the six seat. Aaron's in the eight. I can see one of his fucking cards that Vent in the two seat is showing Aaron. And it's a black motherfucking six. And Aaron was saying, "You have ace six of spades." And I have terrible vision. It looks a lot like the motherfucking six of spades. Did Aaron call his hand correctly? No, because why would he be calling here? Does he have pocket sixes? Maybe. Is he just showing him six of spades? That's all I saw was the black six. And so, interesting here. The river is a brick. It is the third club. I bet 600 again to try and look weak, to try and induce a raise. And a raise I get, I don't know, 2,000, 2,200, something like that. And I snap it off. There's no need for me to re-raise because, you know, there just isn't. And he has ace. He does have the six, black six. He did have ace six suited, but it was ace six of clubs. This was fucking tilting. Not just that they rivered sets against me twice, and now I turned a set, and then they went runner, runner, flush. But the whole fucking thing of, like, Aaron, like, you know, being involved and saying ace six of spades in with my vision, I saw the fucking six of spades. So my $600 bet on the river is just to try and induce a raise by, like, pocket sixes or fucking whatever, some bad six that he has. And I get it, and I just call, and he has ace six of clubs because my vision sucks, and it's weird, and okay, now I'm on tilt, and everyone's leaving because the show's over, and I'm playing a little bit with Dave Grohl and Vent, and Dave Grohl doesn't straddle one hand, and I let him hear about it. Can't take the fucking straddle off. I kind of forget that I'm at my own show. Yeah, the cameras are done, but I kind of need to be held to a higher standard on my own show. But whatever, it's Dave Grohl, you know? Don't take the fucking straddle off. I kind of just turned back into the grizzled vet. And he leaves, and me and Vent are playing heads up. And I've had a lot of success heads up. But in this match, I'm never getting the best hand. I'm never getting the motherfucking best hand, ever. And if I am, it's just ace high. And I'm able to make a couple really good calls with ace high for big pots. But I'm never able to, like, make a hand against him, and, like, if I get a walk, I'll have, like, ace-king suited, just the crate, you know, that, you guys know what I'm talking about, where you can feel it, you've been doom-switched, and, like, but you're not so much of an idiot to believe in that, like, no, like, I can get anything, it could turn at any moment, no, you can't, it's doom-switched, like, you, and it just keeps going this way, and Vent says, he's winning quite a bit now. It says, "We don't have to play anymore." I said, "Fuck you, Vent. I love this kid, but what is he talking about? We don't have to play anymore? Like you're gonna crush me in heads up? Like, no, we're playing." All right. Well, now I got this tilty image. I may have, you know, we got these great dealers, and you know, sometimes they see the grizzled vet in me. But you know, I'm 50 years old. I have worked every single day for 7 years. And I'm competitive, and, like, I'm underslept, and I have so many tilting things in my life. So it comes out sometimes. And, you know, it's my thing to work on, but it's also the story for now. And so I got this image now, and I squeeze with aces. Vent calls. Okay, it comes, and I'm in position. So I was just raising. We're playing 10-20 for the heads up, and I'm just raising dark to 40, and he raises, and I squeeze with aces in position. And it comes king 10x, and he checks. I bet. I got two aces. The turn's a 10. He checks. I'm going to check back here. I don't think I can get three streets. I'd be targeting only a king. I like checking back here, calling river if he bets, betting river if he checks. The river is a brick. He checks. I bet, and he min raises me to like 1,200. I call. He has king 10 offsuit. Okay, so this guy who's rivering sets against me, two outers, and then river's a backdoor flush after I turned a set, and I saw one of his cards, and it looked like the card Aaron was talking about, but my vision sucks, so it was the wrong six. And he's just having it every time, and he just beat my aces with king 10 offsuit, heads up, and then I squeeze again, this time with 10s, and he calls. The flop comes jack 8-7. I'm out of position this time. I check, he bets, I call. Jack 8-7, two spades. The turn is the queen of spades. Jack 8-7. I squeeze preflop, he called. I check, called, flop. Turn queen of spades. I do not have a spade. And I fold. And he shows 10-9 offsuit. So I squeeze preflop with 10s. He called with 10-9 offsuit, and it came jack 8-7 with two spades. Okay, that's some doom switch shit right there. And he quits. He says, we're done. So okay. I lost $3,500 on this night, but it felt like a billion. Why? Because I got a taste of running hot the night before, and I went fucking doom switch again on this night. And just everything else that you know, that's why, cashed out and went home and ate a little bit and crashed and slept bad again. I drank a lot of sugar-free Red Bull again on this night. And, I mean, it does keep me alert while I'm playing and lets me, have my reads and whatnot. And it, slows down my drinking quite a bit because I just do one shot of kettle and a full sugar-free and ice. And I slept bad. I felt horrible when I woke up on Wednesday, April 24th, and that's the last day we're going to talk about. So last sip, went back in for another public game. Again, I don't want to be doing these too often. Maybe the Wednesday one I could do regularly, but the Monday one is just too tough. I play late Sunday night, I do Monday, and then I go Monday night, and then I do Tuesday night, and then I do Wednesday morning. And my first hand that I'm there, and I really want to win in this, in a public game one time, because I am backed and I've lost all the small ones, all the small games. And so I can say look at the money, look at the equity when the money goes in. But still, if you're backing someone and you just see them losing over and over, you start to wonder, because fucking variance in live poker is tough. And it sucks being a makeup, and it sucks when you're losing in these games. And I guess I could just say, let's not have me be backed for these, but it just makes sense while I'm in makeup to be backed as often as possible. I am a favorite. First hand I play on Wednesday, April 24th, I squeeze with ace jack. It comes ace 8-7 rainbow three ways. I jam because the stacks are, it's a $700 pot, but I squeeze pretty big preflop because the guy opens every hand. And the guy called, but was given a lot of action. And I got called by 8-9 offsuit on ace 8-7 rainbow. I have ace jack. And he rivered a 9. And that's 80-20 to start off my day. $700 pot. Okay. That doom switch. And then this guy gave me a courtesy double up. He just doubled me up with a hand that had no business. He had top pair. He had a queen on queen, jack, 6-6, and then fourth spade. And he called with queen 5 of hearts, and I had queen 6. So he gave me a courtesy double, and then I had a weird spot against this kid, Ruse, who loves playing on stream. Really nice kid. Nice Japanese kid. He plays too tight. So that's the thing, is like, this kid's as nice as they get, and like polite and reliable and just everything. But he plays the way that training sites are teaching people to play, and therefore no one wants to play with him. It would be great if a training site taught people to play in a way that won money long term. Do any of them even do that? I don't know. But anyways, he, you know, so he, I raise with Jax. I squeeze with Jax in the blind, and he's the big blind. I'm the small blind. He's the big blind. And he three bets, and it folds back around to me, and we're too deep for me to jam. And, you know, blind versus blind. Plus, I think he has a good hand here. And it comes king 10x. I check. He down bets. Yeah, standard. I call one time with Jax. The turn's an ace. I check. He bets. And, you know, I'm not calling for a gut shot, but I can tell he doesn't love the ace, and he's kind of weak. And, like, I don't know. Maybe just a fold is best, and maybe an all-in is second best. Maybe not. I don't know. I call because I just sense the weakness. He's sitting next to me, and the river's a break. I checked, and he checked, and he had king queen. So whatever. I did win $400. Back to those three things. So, well, what happens next will be a lot of life story stuff. Or, you know, I go down to San Diego on Thursdays. I'm with my kids. And that's for the patrons only. People sign up for $422 a month. They'll get that private drop. And then everyone will get this public drop next week that covers the poker. So, yeah, you can go to patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer and sign up for less than, you know, one yellow chip or red chip, whatever a $5 chip is to you, if you want the entire story. But you will hear that I went to my daughter's, after this, on Thursday, I went to my daughter's middle school game, and they were playing a rival middle school, and I took a lot of satisfaction, and so many of the girls out there are girls I coached at some point. I've coached many seasons of youth basketball and some other sports, but mostly basketball. And I really try to inspire the kids and teach them to be aggressive, and it's, you know, and, you know, trying to develop them as well. And a lot of them are still playing in high school, and that's incredibly healthy, obviously, not just physically, but, you know, sorry, I should say middle school. They'll be going to high school next year, some of them, but they're still playing, and that makes me feel good. And I see this girl who I coached, and she's pretty good, and her father passed away recently, and I went to high school with him, so he's my age, and I knew his mom, and his mom's there in the stands. And yeah, I think he was like a little bit unhealthy, and I just know that I can't let that be the case for my daughter and my son. And you probably see me and probably like, well, you don't look that bad, but like, you know, not getting sleep and just working too much and being up against it just always, like never catching a break, and like, just, you know, I set myself up for disaster with certain things, and I always find it. And but I know that if I focus on, you know, take a nap, your head hurts, but you also want to get something done, take a nap, fucking get some golf clubs and go golfing. That's the start. And then from there, you know, exercise, like a treadmill. I bought one of those machines. I can't remember what they're called. They're like the new Bowflex. The ones with the like hot trainers or whatever. And I haven't been on it yet. But, you know, I know that that's three things. It's rest first, because, you know, you don't want your head hurting from lack of sleep. And then have some recreation, some golf, and then exercise. Just because, you know, I'm not, I'm too old for this lifestyle. I've been living it for a very long time. I'm too old for it. And it's not just like me being a baby. It's like, no, I feel fucked up often. And I feel the stress. The stress is just unrelenting. Hopefully that's the right word. But anyways, yeah. Patrons will hear what happens next. Let's go through the goals real quick for the year. 2024 goals. 60, 120, 240. I want to win 60% of sessions. I've won 19 of 32 this year. But the problem has been I lost huge ones and never won any huge ones. That's live poker, ain't it? I've won 59% of my sessions, so I'm really just 1% away from being on target. But I've lost huge, and I've had so many dumb pots of like set under set against someone you could never even consider folding to. Just so many huge pots that I lost, and I just haven't won them this year. And that's what a downswing looks like for a proven winner. And anyways, we're 1% off that goal. 120K debt. Yeah, I was in 250K debt plus when I hit the bottom 2017 and remained that way for several years. Didn't even have a residence for till 2020. And things have gotten better. I have multiple residences because I'm up in LA and also down here in San Diego. And the debt is at 188,275. So I got a lot of work to do there. And I want to weigh 240 pounds or less, which is still overweight, but it's manageable. And you got to set reasonable goals. And I weighed myself today and it's a new all-time high, 261.1. So I need to get on those three things ASAP. Thanks for listening.